T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Joe Beningo and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe, on WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no, gotta go with Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe. 66 on your AM dial, 101.9 FM, Joe and Evan.
All right, 10:05 on The Fan, and a very good Thursday morning to you, the midday show. Joe Beningo, Evan Roberts, 877-337-6666 is the phone number here at 1 o'clock. CMB will come your way, Mike, after that. Dolph Kramer, Ernie Acosta on the other side of the glass. Of course, we're live from the Black Bear Studio here high above Hudson Street on the 10th floor in Lower Manhattan. As Ernie hands me the Black Bear, and as I mentioned, we're live from the Black Bear Studio. Delicious Black Bear deli meats and cheeses only at ShopRite. Of course, I'm in the Mike Francesa chair. It's an interesting sports day because you got legalized sports gambling now going on in Jersey. I think it started this morning down at Monmouth Park. I already made 4 bets on the golf. You got the U.S. Open out at Shinnecock. One of the guys I bet on, Jordan Spieth, already is 5 over par. He triple bogeyed his second hole, 11. He's playing the back 9 first, so I'm already behind the 8 ball a little bit there. And if you care about the World Cup soccer, I think that starts today as well. Of course, the USA is not in it, so who really cares? At least I don't. And then you got the baseball. And the Mets got 2 hits last night. That's the good news. And, they lost.
That's the good news.
So why have we mentioned it? They actually got 2 hits in the game. And the Yankees actually lost the game as this kid Soto, the latest great prospect that doesn't play for the Mets, hit 2 home runs last night for the Nationals to win the game. One I thought was a pop-up.
Yes, somehow, the first one.
The first one, the 3-run homer, which somehow got out of the ballpark. I don't know how, but it did. And then he hit the other one, which is about 450 feet, which wound up winning the game for the Nationals.
Yeah, I think it evens out now. When you take the cheap one, the left field, and the bomb, the right field, and you add it up, it's 2 legitimate home runs. But it reminded me of Andrew Jones. Obviously, the stakes were a little bit less, in this case, last night. It's not the World Series, but A 19-year-old.
Unbelievable.
Think about what you're doing at 19, or if you have a kid who's 19 right now.
I know
what
I was hoping I was going to do. But
you're right. Juan did that last night, Joe.
I guess he did.
I'm sure he did. I'm sure Juan went to Manhattan and said,
"Oh boy,
do you know who I am?
Yep.
I hit 2 home runs at Yankee Stadium." I think the big thing you take out of last night with the Yankees, they lose. You're not going to win every single night. The Nationals are a quality team. I think you saw how good the National bullpen can actually look. This Justin Miller, who was bad for 3 years as just a journeyman reliever, has joined the Nationals and is striking everybody out. It's ridiculous. And you saw Sean Doolittle make it look easy in the ninth inning. But I think the biggest thing you take away from last night is Sonny Gray and how he was there. That's what I take out of
it. Well, I mean, you know, that 3-run homer, now he's got the lead. They're up 3-1. Stanton had just gotten an RBI hit to give him the 3-1 lead. He gets the first two guys out, and then he walks our good buddy, Daniel Murphy.
Yep.
He walks him, gives up a base hit after that. I forget who got
Matt Adams.
Adams, that's right. And then finally, of course, and we mentioned the home run by Soto that looked like it was a pop-up to left field.
And that's why it was a killer, because he gives up the run in the first inning, and it could have been worse. And it looked like it was going to be worse, and he had to labor. He threw 34 pitches in the first inning. But he only gets through it down 1-0, and then the Yankees quickly tie the game up. Brett Gardner basically creates a run. He singles, he steals second, he goes to third on the throwing error, and then Aaron Judge, it's a fly ball to the outfield. Boom, the game is tied. So Sonny looks like, not that he's settling in, because he is putting guys on base every single inning. Look at the third inning. The third inning was amazing. Gets the first guy out legitimately, gives up a base hit to Adam Eaton. He's thrown out trying to go to second. Gives up a base hit to Trey Turner and then picks him off. And he actually picked a couple of guys off in this game. He picked up picked off Soto earlier.
Yep.
So Sonny Gray, to his credit, because it is Sonny Gray, is at least making up for the fact that he's putting a lot of guys on base. But the Yankees are getting runs. Greg Bird had a big day yesterday, which is encouraging, as he was dropped into the batting order.
Home run.
He hits a home run. He has a double later in the game.
Glaber hit one out.
Glaber day every day.
Every day's Glaber
day. But they give Sonny Gray the lead. And you're thinking, all right, he hasn't been dominant. He hasn't been great. But this is a positive sign because Sonny has struggled so much at Yankee Stadium. His really good starts this year have been away from Yankee Stadium. And here he is at Yankee Stadium. Sure, he's putting a lot of guys on base, but he's getting through it. He's got the first two outs in the fourth inning. And the way that fourth inning transpired, that was what kind of defined Sonny Gray's outing. That he does give up the walk to Daniel Murphy, who looks like he's on one leg. That he does give up the extra base hit to Matt Adams, and whether it's cheap or not, it's a home run. Doesn't matter.
Oh, no.
They all count the same, man. And he gives up the home run to Soto. He did finish the fifth inning strong, but it was a very blah outing from Sonny Gray, and I think you sit here today, and you probably feel the same way about Sonny Gray as you felt yesterday. You have no idea what to expect.
Well, you don't have a lot of confidence in him. I think if you're a Yankee fan, you know, your confidence level in Sonny Gray is not big. I think that's really the bottom line on him.
I think if he would have delivered and continued what he had done in his last two starts, he would have started to build a little bit of confidence with the Yankee fans. Because, like I mentioned, he's done it against weak lineups, and he's done it on the road. And that's fine. They all count the same. But as far as believing in him and having trust in him, I think it would have gone a long way if he delivered a six-inning, one-run performance against the Washington Nationals at Yankee Stadium. But the Nationals are a better team. And for whatever reason, his starts at Yankee Stadium, they just haven't been good. I mean, you look at all of them. The last one he made before last night was that start against the Angels. It was a disaster. Gets knocked out in the fourth inning. He allows five runs. He just hasn't pitched out well at Yankee Stadium, and usually he gets knocked out in the third or fourth inning. So I guess you could talk yourself into it being a positive that it was five innings, four runs, and he kept him in the game. The problem is he gave the lead right back immediately.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, you get the lead, you got a two-run lead. You know, you can't give the runs right back immediately and then give them the lead. So, you know, again, I think the bottom line with Sonny Gray is what I said. I think you don't have a lot of confidence in him. You know, in any kind of big spot, you're going to be worried about him. And that's where he is right now, even though he had a couple of real good starts in a row.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. He's going to have to earn that trust. He's going to have to be a lot more consistent.
Yep.
He's going to have to do it at home. He's going to have to do it on the road. He's going to have to do it against all sorts of lineups. And the truth is, right now, and we know they're going to add a pitcher, but right now they kind of need Sonny Gray because their rotation faces questions in the back end. You can trust Severino. You know what you're getting from him. Even trust CC Sabathia. He's not going to go deep into the game, but you know CC Sabathia, for the most part, especially after a loss, is going to be solid. After that, it's Sonny Gray. And then you're talking about Herman, who we'll see if he can build off the Mets start. And then you're talking about a kid from AA in Losiga, who you have no idea what to expect from. So there is a little bit more expectation now from Sonny Gray to at least stabilize this rotation. But the truth is, offensively, after the Glaber home run, they did absolutely nothing.
Yep.
They had a great opportunity in the eighth inning, but Aaron Hicks struck out. He had a rough day. Andujar had a nothing day. He flied out. And then Sean Doolittle, you know, barely broke a sweat in the ninth inning. So at the end of the day, we've talked about the Yankees going through a little bit of an offensive slump.
They've been winning in spite of it.
And they look like they're a juggernaut offensively compared to the other team in town who gets two hits a night.
The other team in town is a joke. But I mean, that's just, they're a disgrace.
But after the Glaber-Torres home run.
That game was over before I got home. Do you know that?
Well, oh, yeah, it was quick.
Well, we knew it was over when we left.
It was over when they gave up a run.
When Jake gave up the one run, Freddie Freeman, of course. And by the way, Freddie Freeman hit an home run off Jerry Blevins, who's here to get lefties out who never does. He hasn't got a left-hander out since last year, Jerry Blevins, but that's another story.
To that point, and this has driven me nuts for years, and it happens all the time. And I'm going to vent about it because it happened last night to the Mets.
Get an event.
When a guy.
I can't believe, by the way, Rory McIlroy's 5-over as well. It just started. He's 5-over.
He's going to make the cut?
Well, it's the first day. You never know. He could go crazy from here. But anyway, go ahead.
When a guy is in the fifth inning, and he's around 90, 95 pitches. A manager will fight and claw to just get them through that fifth inning, and they'll end up throwing 105 pitches, take them out after five. And they do it in a smaller period of time.
Sure.
Yesterday afternoon, Jacob deGrom, sure, he put guys on base, but he gets out of it most of the time. Jacob DeGrom is at 86 pitches through 7 innings. And Jake has a great opportunity to get an old-fashioned 8-inning complete game loss, which would only be fitting for the kind of support he's gotten.
They would have only lost 1-0 instead of 2-0.
Well, it's 1-0. It's the 8th inning. They never had to pinch hit for Jacob DeGrom in the top of the inning. And I'm in the car. I'm in the car, of course, listening to Howie and Josh, of course, on SiriusXM. Where else would I listen to them? And all of a sudden, I hear them say, Jerry Blevins is in the game. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a second. I was at a red light before. I saw on the box score that Jake's pitch count was 87. Right. I must have read it wrong. Maybe it was 107.
Right.
Maybe I was wrong.
Right. You weren't. I wasn't
wrong.
Well, you heard Callaway's excuse, didn't you?
Yeah. Stressful innings.
Yes.
Cut to crap. And the truth is, I shouldn't be annoyed because they were going to lose 1-0 anyway, you said.
No, they would have lost 1-0 instead of 2-0.
But it's things like this that bother me.
Yeah, no,
he's at 87 pitches. Let the man finish the game that you guys ruined for him anyway. Give me a break. Because you know why? These little voters, not little voters, these wonderful voters who are going to make their Cy Young decision will look at that CG column, and when they see 0 next to DeGrom and 2 for Max Scherzer, they're going to say, oh, well, Max got 2 of them. Mickey Callaway taking Jacob DeGrom out not only hurts his team's chances of winning, I'm going to take it a step further. He hurt Jacob DeGrom's chances of winning the Cy Young.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well,
he did.
I'll tell you, his ERA went down. What is it, 1.55?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. What did they score, 8 runs in his last 8 starts?
Something like
that. Is that what it is?
It's incredible. It really
And he's
really,
given up, like, I think, is it 10? Has he even given up that many runs over the 8 starts? 10? Has it been that many?
Listen to this number from Jared Diamond. All right. Jared Diamond is a national baseball writer for the Wall Street Journal. I'm going to read this to you. Jacob DeGrom is the unluckiest pitcher in recorded baseball history. Mm. Why?
Wow.
When a starter has posted an ERA under 1 over 10 starts, no team has ever won fewer than 4 games. In Jacob DeGrom's last 10 starts, his ERA is 0.87.
0.87.
The Met record, 2-8.
Unbelievable. No, it's unbelievable.
2-8.
It's only the Mets. It's almost impossible that that's the case, but only the Mets. Because the Mets are great for doing the impossible.
They're doing the impossible.
In a negative way.
Yeah, the amazing Mets.
And in a negative way.
And I got to give this guy credit because most other human beings would not stand there after games and act as classy as this guy is acting.
And he did. I did get home in time to see the post-game show. So.
I mean, you look at him, you look into his eyes, and you see a guy that probably in the inside wants to say, I hate everybody. I hate everybody on this team. They're all awful. This is disgusting. And he stands there every 5 days. The Yankee game, he says, this is my fault. This guy actually blamed himself. He said, this is my fault. In a time where very few people take personal responsibility, Jacob DeGrom blames himself, and he's got 0.87 ERA in 10 starts.
It's unbelievable.
You want your kids to grow up and be Jacob DeGrom.
Jake is great, man. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball. He's one of the top 5, top 3, top 2. That's where he is right now. It's unbelievable. I mean, when you think about this team and what a disgrace it's been. I mean, 2 hit, nothing, they get nothing. They give you nothing. This game was, 2 hours it was over?
Yeah.
Right?
Flew by.
How could it not?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a joke. And there's just no margin for error at all.
2 hours and 12 minutes.
That's all. But is that the shortest game of the year?
They've played a few 220s lately because they don't score runs.
No, well, of course.
And Mike Soroka, who is a big prospect, he's only 20 years old. The guy comes off the DL. They were going to have the strictest pitch count ever on him. They took him out after 74
pitches.
Yeah,
got a no-hitter into the 6th inning, right?
Yeah, he's throwing a no-hitter.
And the hit was a Conforto roller.
Yes. And then they take him out because he has a pitch count. And you think, oh, you got a chance. You know, Minter and Winkler and Vizcaino.
What chance do they have?
No chance.
Might as well have been the Nasty Boys.
Doesn't matter. Everybody's the Nasty Boys against this team.
And everybody's, you know, Sandy Koufax, Justin Verlander.
Yeah.
Everybody.
And you know, I'll get annoyed over any time my team loses, whether they're in it, they're out of it, they're this, they're that. It always annoys me. But I'm telling you right now, when Jake pitches and this happens, I get more annoyed than any other game.
Of course. Because what else do you have? It's the one you love him, and you should, and every Met fan should. I mean, look, there's not what's not to love. And, you know, that's the one thing you got to look forward to if you're a Met fan is that watching this guy who's turning into a great pitcher pitch every fourth day, every fifth day, and this is what you get.
It's
and they just can't score runs. Look, they don't score runs for anybody. I mean,
right.
you know, they're not scoring runs for anybody
right
now.
Right.
I mean,
right.
it's not just the Grom. The starting pitching has been unbelievable. The starting pitching over the last 20 games has got an ERA under 3.
Yeah.
And they won, like, what, 3 games?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a joke.
Well.
It's a joke.
I think we'd all agree that Jay Bruce has been a pain in the ass this year.
And he's got one now.
Now he's sitting because
of it. The only thing I'll say about Bruce, because I did see him after the game, too. He took full responsibility for lollygagging that play with NC Arte.
He did.
I give him that. And he fully said, I got to be better than that. And my head wasn't in the game. I mean, not many guys are going to say that. He did. I give him credit for that. But what's he going to say when you are producing as poorly as this guy is? You got to take responsibility.
No, and I appreciate him taking responsibility. Unlike Jacob deGrom, Jay Bruce deserves to take responsibility. But I think what is insulting, what is flat out insulting from a lot of guys on this team, not just Jay Bruce, and how he brought this up on the broadcast yesterday, and he's right. And I'm not watching, I'm listening. Mm. But I hear Ender and Ciarte taking an extra base, even getting thrown out, being super aggressive.
Right.
And by
right.
the way, the only guy to throw him out is DeGrom because he's cool as a cucumber
off.
And he picks him off.
Right.
The Braves are playing with excitement, with hustle, with enthusiasm. The Mets are playing like they're dead.
Yep.
That's
it.
How they're
like they
playing.
Can't wait to get on the plane to Arizona and work on their tans.
Well, good news. Most of us can't wait to shut our TVs off.
Man.
And most of us can't wait to just burn our tickets because you're that unwatchable.
They are
Congratulations.
Bro, they are unwatchable. No other way to say it.
I heard Mike say yesterday, sometimes you got to make a trade for the sake of making a trade. And while I understand they have to do something, I was thinking about this last night because I couldn't sleep. And I started thinking, because you've brought it up, hey, go sign Manny Machado. And you're right, they should. I was thinking of a few other things this just disgusting franchise could do.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.